The next case is number 06-4055, the United States, against Ariola Castillo.
Your Honors.
Morning, Mr. Bailey. Let's give counsel a moment to get settled, okay? Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
Counsel for the government. If it pleases the court, I'm Chris Bailey. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Jesus Ariola Castillo. I'd like to note I called the counsel for the government, because I noted in the transcript he's called the state quite a bit, and that's not proper. This is a case where my client was convicted of conspiring to distribute over 1,000 kilograms of marijuana. And because of two information that are filed pursuant to 21 U.S.C. 851, it triggered a mandatory life sentence. Now, in this situation, of course, I'm challenging the sentence here, and seems like the last four appeals I had have been about sentencing since Booker, Fan, and here, so I apologize, I'm here on a sentencing issue again. But I remember during Booker, I had applause from your clerks that it was the last sentencing argument of the morning when I got to that point. In this situation, we have a record here. And in fact, the record in court, I wasn't the counsel in the trial court, in the district court. There was a lot of, at least from reading the transcript, there was some confusion, because whenever she talked about prior convictions or objected, sometimes you weren't clear. In fact, counsel for the government at sentencing was somewhat unaware of some of the objections that were coming forth. The first 851 objection, I mean, the first information pursuant to 851 was objected to. It was from a conviction from April of 1996. All convictions in this gentleman's record were from New Mexico. That wasn't in the PSR, and according to the probation agent in court, he didn't have any record of it. So the government had not filed an objection to the PSR at that point. It had been accepted by the government. That's the first prong of my argument. Now, going to the second information, that was about a February 1996 conviction with a sentence happening February 7th of 96. Interestingly, the conviction from the first information occurred on February 9th, 1996. This was never developed in the district court, which would beg the question, how did a guy get sentenced on the 7th while he was in jail convicted another offense? I don't know, because it was never developed, so I really don't have a lot to go on there. But because the first information is not in the PSR and not objected to, I get to the other information, the second one filed on June 6th of 2006. That refers to it as a single conviction in the information, and in the footnote of that information says, well, we have a conviction in the first information. During the course of the beginning of the trial as well, they talk about on the record between the government and the court about, okay, we have these two counts of that a single conviction. What they say on the record is it's a single conviction. Hence, as far as I'm arguing to the court, is that we have a single prior felony drug offense that would enhance his sentence as opposed to two or three. What happens later in the record, I think, is somewhat interesting, how the court takes two convictions from one information, takes one of them and says, well, even if the one from 1996 isn't there, well, we got three total, so we're just going to go forward like that. And what I really find a little bit troubling about this whole case is, at the beginning of trial, no one said to this guy, you know, if you're convicted in this trial, sir, you have mandatory life. And if we're going to get anything out of this appeal, and my client, I think, has another claim under ineffective assistance, given the fact that the attorney didn't even know the penalties when they went to sentencing, I don't know why it would have been so hard on the trial court just to say to this guy, you know, if you're going to get convicted today, I have to give you life. It was never really said to him. And even at the initial appearance that was added to the government's brief, it just said unidentified defendant. I'm not even sure if he ever fully got that anywhere in the record, that upon conviction this would be what would happen to him.
Well, there was an extensive discussion of the issue, including the fact that prior convictions could mandate a life sentence during his preliminary hearing, right?
Yeah, there was a could there. And then the person acknowledged it just said unidentified defendant. I believe that's on page
3 to 5.
I have to go by appendix, I think it's.
Yeah, at the appendix.
Right, there's a mention of it, and the person just says unidentified.
No, the court says upon conviction for that offense, the penalty is a mandatory minimum 10 years, a maximum of life, together with a $4 million fine.
Right, and the issue there is the maximum always was life. I'm not going to say he didn't know the max was life. I'm just more of the issue of mandatory life seems to be a little bit more. But obviously, I, as a defense attorney, I have trouble with 851, given that the guy can have two counts within 45 minutes of each other, and you get a mandatory life sentence. And I really have a problem with that. And the problem with the whole record is that going to sentencing, there is case law talking about, well, defense counsel represented this guy in the past, he knew his record, hence that's why he wasn't surprised by the 851. At the sentencing hearing, the trial counsel seemed not to have any idea whatsoever about what the penalties were that her client was facing. And, of course, I'm not arguing ineffective assistance of counsel. That's for another day.
Yeah.
And I'm very clear about that. I just really, I have a guy going forward here, and it looks like all of his prior convictions happened in a course of a couple months, if not a couple days. And then he's going forward, and he's life sentence. I mean, I went out to the Florence, Colorado Supermax, and I met this gentleman because I wasn't his district counsel. And he expressed to me he didn't know, and that was what was strange about this whole case to me, is how can you go forward on any trial where you have such incredibly stiff penalties and you don't seem to know, and there doesn't seem to be a clear record that he knew, and even his attorney, who's supposed to know these things, one would hope, didn't say anything, didn't seem to know. But if you start saying sentence someone to 5 to 40 years, it doesn't seem very clear to me that she ever really knew, acknowledged, or expressed to the court that she knew. And then, of course, she's advising her client. And that's why I'm having issues about whether or not this gentleman was fully informed and that the prior convictions should count the way they are. I can't get over the fact that there's at least one prior felony drug offense that was named in the second information. Like I said, I take issue with the one in the first information. And the second information, it says a conviction. It doesn't say conviction. I just don't think you can slide these convictions around to get a desired result. And I understand that the government was trying to advise this other attorney, but I don't think the way it was done is sufficient in this situation to mandate the life sentence. I'd ask that the court send this back to the district court and have him sentenced with only the one enhancement as opposed to the two prior convictions. There also was a discussion, the career offender was dropped for some reason. That's not in the record either. I don't know what happened because the sentencing hearing broke twice while it went forward. So once again, I don't have a good record as to that. And as I said, this situation, I'd ask that you remand to the district court. Have my client sentenced with one prior violation pursuant to 21 U.S.C. 851 with a range of 20 years of life as opposed to mandatory life. And subject to any more questions, I'd ask for the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
My name's Brad Blackington from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Let me first indicate for the record that defense counsel is not correct. This defendant was advised of the mandatory minimum life sentence. If you look on my supplemental appendix in page 4 at the bottom, I did it. And I said, Your Honor, the only thing I wanted to note for the record was it appears that Mr. Areola has two prior felony drug convictions. If an information was filed, that would trigger him for a life sentence. And then the magistrate judge later on page 10 repeated what I had said about the effect of the 851 informations. So I, of course, don't know what defense counsel told this guy. I wasn't there because of the nature of our adversarial system, but he was advised at some point by the magistrate judge at the initial hearing about what the penalties were. The rules of procedure do not require the district court to do that. They do require the magistrate judge to do that at an initial appearance, and at the initial appearance, I advised him of that mandatory life, and the magistrate judge did. There were two separate 851 informations filed. The first information that was filed in this case referenced a conviction for marijuana trafficking. The defendant, again, through prior counsel, not Mr. Bailey, did not object to this first information in writing before the sentencing hearing, as the statute requires. But at the sentencing hearing, the defendant said he didn't commit the offense. He said he didn't commit the offense because he was in Arizona during the year of the offense and hadn't left New Mexico. The district court permitted me to amend a typographical error in the face of the information from Arizona to New Mexico. Section 851A1 permits the amendment of an 851 information at any time prior to the pronouncement of sentence, in quotes. And the district court did that, and the district court further noted that any possible claim of prejudice would be mitigated or eliminated because I attached a certified copy of that New Mexico conviction to the information. So that was information number one, felony number one. The second information referenced two convictions for cocaine trafficking. The defendant admitted that these were his convictions. Now, Mr. Bailey cites some discussion early in the trial where I had indicated that these were a single conviction. This happened in the context of a motion in limine pertaining to impeachment and the impeachment the effect of this for impeachment. And my position was he was convicted at the same time, and for impeachment purposes, it would be one conviction for two different transactions. I didn't say that that was one conviction for 851 purposes. That related to a discussion about impeachment. Nonetheless, the defendant argues, as he does now, argued at the sentencing hearing that those should only count for one conviction. A certified copy of the plea agreement was introduced that showed that these were two separate trafficking instances, 3 days apart in two different counties. The legal test is that a court may enhance based upon multiple offenses if they're separate criminal episodes as opposed to a single act of criminality. The case I cited, Barr, a Fifth Circuit case, permitted an enhancement where there were two sales of crack on consecutive days as opposed to 3 days apart. And this court in Cardine has interpreted the Armed Career Criminal Act to involve two separate sales of crack 45 minutes apart, counting as separate convictions. So in this case, we have the first information with one conviction, the second information with two separate convictions for 851 purposes, which would count as three convictions. Some of the arguments that were raised with regard to the first information in the brief I wanted to address. The district court did not commit clear error, and that's what the standard is, in finding that this was a defendant who committed the offense alleged in the first information for three reasons. First, the record indicated that the Jesus Areola Castillo, who committed the offense in the first information, had the same date of birth as our Jesus Areola Castillo. Secondly, when shown the certified copy of the plea agreement that resulted from the first information, I asked him if it was his signature. He said it could be. Thirdly, in the second information that was filed, where Areola says, yeah, that's me, the plea agreement calls for his sentence for those two offenses to run concurrent to the pending marijuana case, which is the marijuana case in the first information. So by any standard, including the clear error standard, the district court had a sufficient basis to find that Arjesus Arreola Castillo was the guy charged in the first information. I don't want to discuss too much what Mr. Bailey discussed about ineffective assistance, what this defendant said at the sentencing hearing. I'll save that for another day because I certainly take Mr. Bailey at his word that we'll have a 2255 petition coming. Those issues simply aren't before the court at this time, but I have a lot of time left. If the court wants to ask me about them, I'll answer them, but I just don't think they're relevant at this point. So I'll give back the rest of my time unless the court has any questions of me.
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Blackington.
Thank you very much.
How much time does Mr. Bailey have? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. The only other thing I would point out, page 16 of my appendix, I have the second information that was filed. In the body of that, it says judgment was entered on the conviction as opposed to two convictions. And at the initial appearance, he said there were two convictions. I just attacked the first information because it wasn't in the PSR. And because of the verbiage within the second information, it appears on its face to be a single conviction, although I'll grant you that it says two counts. But that's to put in my notice that a conviction was being used here out of this case number, and then the other matter I was challenging because, frankly, it just wasn't in the PSR and it wasn't objected to. So at that point, at least from the reading of the transcript of the sentencing, I don't think it should have been counted. So I would ask that the court remand for a resentencing with only one of the two information standing for purposes of enhancement, and that his range would be 20 years to life as opposed to mandatory life. Thank you. Unless you have any more questions, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Thanks to both counsel in this case. And Mr. Bailey, you took this by appointment to the court, and you have our deep thanks for your efforts on behalf of your client. The case will be taken under advisement. The court has finished the call of the day, and therefore the court will...